Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our text for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 19th chapter, beginning at the 5th verse. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are the truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Dear fellow redeemed, sometimes people surprise us. Sometimes they surprise us because they do things that seem to be contrary to their character or contrary to their role. Maybe you can imagine that you go to the dentist, and right before he works on your teeth, you see him down an entire can of Coca-Cola. Or maybe your neighbor, who's a fireman, you're watching him outside in the backyard during a bonfire, and he's messing around with fireworks in a careless way. Or maybe you can imagine a politician who was vehemently opposing someone else who is running for a certain position, and yet when it's his time in office, he's reaching across the aisle to work on a bipartisan bill. Or maybe it's a financial planner who is trying to help you get out of debt, who encourages you to take out a loan. Yes, people can sometimes surprise us, and sometimes it is because maybe they lack good judgment. But other times it could be because we misunderstand them. We misunderstand their role, we misunderstand their character and their purpose. In God's word before us today, Jesus surprises people. Jesus surprises Zacchaeus. Jesus surprises the crowd and maybe us as well. But let us understand that he surprises us not because he's doing things that are against his character or against his role, but because he's doing exactly which is of his character and of his role to seek and to save the lost. You know, when you think of Zacchaeus, what comes to mind? I think the number one thing for us is we remember that he was a wee little man who climbed up in a sycamore tree, right? Comes from that children's song, right? But probably what's more important for us to note about him is his job. He's a chief tax collector. It's good to note that tax collectors were pariah in society. People hated them, right? They were Jews who sided with the Roman government, who were working for the Roman government. They were also known to be swindlers who made their wealth by cheating their fellow Jews out of their money. And so all of the people were disgusted by Zacchaeus. Yet, despite Jesus knowing all of this, he comes up to Zacchaeus as he sees him in the tree, and he says to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Imagine the surprise of Zacchaeus in that moment. "Jesus, don't you know who I am? Jesus, don't you know what everyone else thinks about me?" He certainly was shocked in all of this, but also excited and happy that Jesus was coming to his house. He knew that the people felt a certain way about him, and probably also deep down, he also knew his own guilt, as we see revealed later on, as he knew that some of what those people thought about him was actually true, that he had cheated people. Yet he was excited that Jesus, this great religious leader and rabbi, was willing to come to his house, a known sinful man. And what happens as he goes there? Well, he welcomes Jesus with hospitality, but we also hear that he gets up to make an announcement. He announces that he's giving half of his wealth to the poor, and anybody that he's cheated, he's going to repay fourfold. Why this change? Well, we don't hear that Jesus addressed his sin. We don't hear that Jesus told him that he is his savior from sin. But we do hear this. It says in our lesson for today that salvation has come to this house. And Jesus also calls him a son of Abraham. Maybe think about that last part. Well, wasn't it obvious? I mean, after all, he was a Jewish tax collector working for the Romans. Wasn't he obviously a son of Abraham? What was Jesus' point? Well, even though he had been rejected by other sons of Abraham, other Jewish people, Jesus was recognizing that he was a son, not simply by blood, but by faith. Just like Abraham, who believed God and his faith was credited to him as righteousness, the same was true now for Zacchaeus. That this sinful man had recognized his sin, confessed his sin, and trusted that Jesus was his savior from sin, and as a result, was making this big change in his life to give freely, to be generous with the poor, and also to repay those that he had cheated. Can you believe it? You know, sometimes we think people will never change, right? Sometimes we can write people off, maybe as sinful people that don't deserve our time. Maybe it's because of how they dress or how they present themselves. We can say, well, that person obviously isn't a Christian. That person obviously doesn't want to hear anything about what God has to say in his word. That person is a lost cause. And while we can make those judgments, it can be also the case that that same individual who maybe seems to be so bold and defiant against God and his word on the outside also has a tinge of guilt on the inside. That they maybe aren't so confident and so certain in themselves and in their sin. There's a part of them that maybe feels who they are and what they are doing is actually wrong. And Jesus wants us to know for today that he has come for even such as these. He also wants us to know that we are really no different than them. Yes, maybe we don't wear our sins on our sleeves so everybody can know that we are defiant sinners. We were the same, right, by our nature, lost and condemned before God because of our sin. Enemies of God by nature is what the scripture tells us, and yet, what did God do? He sought and he saved the lost, you. You who are lost, you who are dead in your transgressions and sin, he made you alive in Christ, bringing you to faith through word and sacrament, bringing you the gospel. You who are God's enemies, making you his children now and forever. You know, yesterday was the anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther's death, February 18th. And I don't know if all of you know this, but Dr. Martin Luther, after he died, there was a note that was found on his person, a scrap of paper with about a paragraph of words on it. And some of the words that have been highlighted that were written on that paper found on his body after death were these: "We are all beggars. This is true." Isn't that striking to think about that? Dr. Martin Luther, this great man of faith, this great confessor of God's word, was saying that he was a beggar before God concerning his word, concerning the gospel. How could he say that? Well, he is acknowledging that he was nothing and God was everything. That he was but a lowly, sinful man that God had redeemed and saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The same is true for each and every one of us. We are but beggars before God. We don't deserve his love. We don't deserve his forgiveness. And yet, he has shined the light of the gospel into our own hearts and into our own lives as well. He hasn't come to do that to pat us on the back and say, good job. You're doing such a great job being a good person. He hasn't come to confirm us in our sins and say, no, that's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Just keep doing what you're doing. No, he's spoken the truth into our hearts and lives and said, yes, you are a sinner. Yes, you are guilty. But I've come for you. I've come to redeem you. Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven. You are mine. Pastor D.T. Niles is attributed with saying this: evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I like that. Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. As we think about for ourselves, we are but beggars before God, not deserving of his grace and mercy. And yet, we have opportunity to tell other beggars, to tell other sinners, to tell other people lost in their sins where to find bread, where to find the bread of life, Jesus Christ, who gives life now and always. number of years ago, there was a pastor of our fellowship that spoke in front of a group of pastors, and he shared this story. He said that during his ministry, he had opportunity to become friends with a man who was openly gay. He said over the course of time, over the course of their friendship, this man actually invited him to attend a birthday party. But the pastor wasn't so sure. After all, what would his parishioners think if they heard that their pastor went to the home of an openly gay individual? Well, he decided that it was the right thing to do, and so he did. He said as a result, their friendship continued, and he had opportunity later on to talk to the man about his faith. And the man was interested. He wanted to learn more. And he actually arranged for the pastor to meet with him and to go through a number of classes for adult instruction. But soon after a few classes that they sat through, the man revealed to the pastor the reality of his medical condition. He was dying of AIDS, and it was terrible. He didn't actually have long to live. And soon he found himself in the hospital, and he would never leave the hospital bed. But the pastor was invited to come and talk to him, and the pastor took that opportunity, and he said that while that man was in the hospital, he confessed his sin. Even his sin of homosexuality, he confessed it to the pastor, and the pastor had a wonderful opportunity to assure him of God's forgiveness and love, that even that sin that he was living in for decades was forgiven. Even that sin forgiven in Christ. The pastor was confident that that man died a believer and that we will see him again one day in heaven. Yes, others might have said that that man was a lost cause. He wasn't worth that pastor's time. He would never listen. But the pastor saw something different. He didn't see a lost cause. He saw the lost that Jesus came to save. Yes, people sometimes surprise us because they act contrary to what we imagine is their character or their role. And sometimes it is because they lack judgment. But other times it can be like Jesus, as we see in our lesson for today, that he does things that surprise Zacchaeus, that surprise the people, that maybe even surprise us too. But let us understand that it is in complete conformity to his character and role, that he came to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came for people like you and me, people dead in our trespasses and sin, people condemned to death and to hell forever. Yet he didn't want that to happen. Instead, he came to save us, to rescue us from hell by suffering and dying on a cross and rising to life again and by sharing the gospel with us that the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts to bring us to faith and rescue us from our lost condition, giving us hope and a future. May God open doors for us in our own lives to see the lost that we know and come in contact with, to give us an opportunity not to reject them and not to say they're a lost cause, but to share the truth of what we know, to share bread with a fellow beggar, to share with them the wonderful message of salvation that is found only in Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite the congregation to please rise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. And let us pray. Gracious Savior, we confess that we have often been self-righteous and quick to write people off as undeserving of your love. Forgive us for these and all of our sins. Words cannot express our gratitude for what you have done for us, that you did not just seek, but also saved us, that you gave your life on a cross even for us. Open our eyes to those in our lives who need your life-saving gospel. Give us boldness to befriend those who are lost and to want to share your truth with them. Amen. And we continue with the hymn. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.